hear the word of God, as it's written in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 10 to 18, which can be found on page 898 of the majority of the Pew Bibles. Paul gives advice for waging war on evil spirits. Ephesians 6, reading from verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Here ends the first lesson. We turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, to chapter 25, reading verses 14 to 30, which can be found in page 756 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus tells the parable of the three servants. Matthew 25, reading from verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, Even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. On this Remembrance Day, I remember a visit to Tesco. Other supermarket stores are available. Where I was shocked by what the cashier said to me as I tried to buy a loaf of bread. She said to me, with a straight face, "Bog off." Well, I thought that was a bit outrageous. I think the look on my face made her realise that I did not appreciate being spoken to like that. So she tried to undo the damage by offering me another loaf of bread for free. "There you go," she says. All matter of fact. And then to add insult to injury, she said it again. "Bog off. Buy one, get one free." Oh, how I laughed when I realised it was an acronym. B-O-G-O-F, bog off, buy one, get one free. Don't you just love a bargain? Three for the price of two is good, but nothing beats buy one, get one free. In kitchen cupboards throughout Burnhead, View Park, Scotland are full to overflowing with items stockpiled during special offers. During my training for ministry, one of my fellow students, Bob, was an avid bargain hunter. And he would talk about how much he'd saved. And we can all appreciate that. Because when you get to the checkout and the cashier hands you your receipt, it tells you in black and white, you have spent £94.86, and in so doing, you have saved £8.41. My fellow trainee Bob was left speechless one day when someone asked him, "Bob, what did you do with what you saved?" That's a good question for Remembrance Sunday. What have we done with what was saved? TV documentaries make all too real the human cost of wars we remember today, which begs the question, what have we done with what was saved by the sacrifice of so many lives, summed up in all those stories of struggle, suffering, courage, and loss? In 1940, Prime Minister Winston Churchill said Britain and her allies were waging a war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalogue of human crime. I hear in those words an echo of what we heard from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The truth of the expression, ultimate power corrupts ultimately, was never more evident in the human history than in the monstrous tyranny of Nazi Germany during the 20th century. But the warning that comes in Scripture is that delusion and corruption and hatred is ever present every time, all times, this time and that time. That all power has within it the potential to be corrupted in that way. The Second World War took our nation to the very brink of slavery, to the edge of the precipice. People were all too conscious of what was at risk and the extreme cost of overcoming that danger. The First World War had taught the truth about the horrors of war, and yet young men marched off to war, knowing the danger in front of them. Women volunteered, knowing the risks.
So we should thank God for the bravery of those who went before us to preserve our way of life. But we must never, never forget the price that was paid. Now you can quote the huge numbers of casualties to me, and it will move me. But often the cost is most appreciated when it's expressed in personal stories. As a minister, people at times tell me things that they would never share with their own families. Not because they couldn't, but rather because they didn't want to burden them with the nightmare they carry in their memories. I remember one chap in particular during my probationary year who, as he neared the end of life, told me about his war years. It was evident that he'd never gotten over the horrors he both witnessed and the horrors that he inflicted. He was not an evil man, but taking someone else's life, even as a soldier following orders, is a horrific thing to have to do. And that man never got over it. In fact, he was haunted by it, and he struggled to accept that Jesus could and would forgive him. I spoke to a woman who had lost her fiancé and never married. I spoke to many who had lost brothers, uncles, dads, granddads, who wondered what life would have been like for them had they been in their lives rather than in an early grave. And when you hear those real stories, the question, what have you done with what was saved, moves from being a national concern to something personal. The 20th century was a century of war. The statisticians tell us more people died in that century in war than in all other centuries put together. Many, many of those conflicts simply reasserted the cruelty and folly of humanity. But is it naive to see more than just those bitter things in times of war? I don't think so. Yes, there were dark periods in our history. But within that darkness, there was an eagerness to look to the dawning of a new day. That's because we don't belong to the dark. We belong to the light. The gospel of peace and the shield of faith is the armor that we seek. Some years ago, the Poppy Appeal ran the slogan, "The best way to honor the dead is to care for the living." The best way to honor the dead is to care for the living. I think the Royal British Legion got it exactly right. We look back in gratitude for deliverance, but that remembering is only worth anything if we are doing something with what the struggle of the war saved for us. So what are we doing with the freedom we enjoy that costs so many so much? In a reading from Matthew 25, Jesus told the story of a powerful and rich man who entrusted his wealth to his servants while he was out of his country. The servants literally had a fortune given into their hands for safekeeping. Two of them put the money to good use, and when the master returned, they had made substantial profits. The third one, however, fearful of his powerful master, simply buried the money entrusted to him. Nothing was lost, but nothing was gained either. And the master's temper was kindled against that servant. Something had to be done with the treasure entrusted. Two of the servants did just that. They put it to work so that they and it developed and grew. The master himself commended them for being bold and adventurous. But the other servant was condemned. The other servant who was condemned was the one who just buried it and left it there in the ground. There is a saying, nothing ventured nothing gained. I suppose the opposite would be nothing gambled, nothing lost. And you might be sitting here this morning with some sympathy for the third servant. Perhaps because, like him, you do not want to risk what you have. You'd rather sit in a bubble wrap of perceived peace. But that kind of thinking was what allowed the evil of Nazism to get a foothold and to grow. As long as it's not us who are suffering, as long as our interests are not affected, as long as we have peace, a piece of worthless paper that promises peace, ours are times cynical about so many things. Wasn't the right to democratic representation one of the things saved in the war? And yet people today can't be bothered to cast their vote. Wasn't the right to freedom of speech one of the things saved? And yet I see so many people today unwilling to listen, with no regard to proper debate or openness to an alternative point of view. Wasn't the concern for the lives of others one of the things saved? And yet today, we live in a society governed by number one psychology. Numero uno is the motto of our consumer society. As long as I have mine, who cares who does not have? Wasn't the belief that all life matters one of the things that was saved? And yet we live in a society where it's not who we are that counts, it's what we possess, where we live, our job title. Was the tyranny of dictatorship defeated to be replaced by the self-indulgence of narcissism, where we are our own God? What have you done with what was saved? A question to ponder on this Remembrance Day. What have you done with the grace that Jesus has bought for you through his sacrifice is a question that should be on your mind every day. In the story, Jesus tells us, the servants brought their fortunes they had produced to their master. They might have expected a good pension and a life of ease after their burdens, but no. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Jesus does not save you so that you can sit back in comfort. Jesus does not bless you so that you can say, I've done my bit. I've labored for the Lord. It's someone else's turn. Let me share with you a little secret. It's always your turn. From the moment you took Jesus into your heart, he called you to be his witness, to be his hands and feet, to be his light in this darkness of the world. He called you when you first believed in him, and he still calls you today. It doesn't matter how old you are called up. So get into the battle with evil. You don't belong on the sidelines, for you are his. You are his soldier. What have you done with your life that is saved is one question. Another is, what are you doing with the life that is saved? One day, Jesus will want to know the answer. And he has a right to know. Because he is the one who bore the pain of your sin. He is the one who saved you for eternity. How wonderful it will be if on that day you can say, Lord, I have tried to serve you in my own strength and with my own abilities. And where my strength and ability have grown weak or failed, to continue to serve you through your strength and through your spirit. And on that day, I'm pretty sure, as Jesus leads you to his glorious banquet, you will hear such wondrous words from the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, on this day of all days, we pause to remember. We remember the lives of so many young men and young women lost in times of war. Lord, it's hard for us to imagine the horrors of war, to imagine the brutality shelled from one set of human beings upon another. In the trenches, Lord, there were very few atheists, for in our greatest time of need, we reach out to you, our Creator. Lord, forgive us for not remembering honestly. When looking back and thinking that war was just something in the past, nothing to be worried about. When today, right at this moment, some of our service personnel are in danger, serving our country, serving us, keeping us safe. Lord, give us hearts to remember them. And help us also to remember what Jesus has done for us. Through the pain that he suffered that we can't appreciate as he hung on the cross for us. Help us to remember, lest we forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.